the reason I went there is the people who, the Palestinians who live there, are my friends. I came to know them after Kamel, the first family that was evicted last November, and ever since I visit this place. I demonstrated a few times in West Jerusalem with them, and so the reason I went to visit my friends in their horrible situation to encourage them to support them. And I'm an optimistic person, so because of the political international pressure on the Israeli government, I was sure that Israel, that the government will not go through with this eviction, and will wait with it, and you know, not go ahead with it. Unfortunately, and I was very shocked when Sunday morning I read about it in Israeli newspapers. So as soon as I read about it, I felt, you know, an instinct, deep emotion to go to be with my friends. And the thing is that I really was alone, you know, with no group. And when I came there, the road was blocked for cars, but people, like, you know, ultra-Orthodox people go in the same road because there is a holy site there. And many of them go along the day, you know, even day and night. So they kept walking, and so I started walking, and immediately the policewoman started to stop me and asked me, where am I going? And I said, I'm going to visit my friends over there. And she said, why? Stop. What friends? And I said, you know, my friends who were evicted. And she said, no, you can't go. You can't go on. And so in a few seconds, you know, and I said, well, show me a paper. This is, you know, this is my city. This is a road in a regular, you know, in the middle of the city of Jerusalem. Why can I walk to visit my friends? I'm just a lady. Not so young lady even, and so what is the reason? And she insisted, and I made a few more steps, and in no time, you know, about 10 policemen were coming, surrounding me, and stopping me, you know, body to body. And then, of course, when it's body to body, they say, well, this is an assault, and I... immediately I was sitting down on the road, and I refused to move. I said, this is my city, and over there are my friends, and I want to visit my friends and to be with them. So in about half an hour, they dragged me to the police special car for detainees, and I was about an hour detained in this car over there in the same place, until they took me to the police station to be interrogated, to be accused with, of course, attacking a policeman, and very funny, you know, illegal crowding. I don't know how you say it, you know, when crowds get together, but I was all alone. So it was, of course, ridiculous. So, of course, eventually they released me with my obligation not to visit the place for 2 weeks.
So Kamel was already evicted last November, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. And so she was living in a tent.
Yes, ever since she was living in the tent. And from the police car, you know, when I was in the police car, they went a little inside. I could see that her tent was as well, evicted, I mean, taken. It happened many times before with the police, you know. Her tent was taken down maybe 10 times, you know, but each time they built it again. But it seems to me now that the police really, and I was really, this is another thing that really, you know, was very shocking to me. First, as I told you, the fact that I was detained while the religious people who look religious, who look Jewish and religious, were allowed to go in, and all the rest were not allowed, like me. The other thing that really alarmed me and shocked me was the number of policemen, the number of forces in that area, in this neighborhood. And I think now that they will stay there for a long time, and it's really half of, you know, police, the army, neighborhood, I think. I cannot check because I didn't go there. I cannot go there. But it seemed like, you know, and it seemed as if, you know, of course, it was, for me, it is a sign of a strategic, this is really for me a strategic move by Israeli government to say, well, East Jerusalem is Jewish as well, and to try to, you know, to make the East part of Jerusalem Jewish as well.
Yeah, the government actually evicts people, Palestinians, from their homes, and then they evict them from their tents.
Yes. And I really don't know what they do. I will call them. I intend now to call them. I think they're really somewhere in some out there in a place out there, you know, in on the ground.
So Sheikh Jarrah is a neighborhood in East Jerusalem.
In East Jerusalem, yes. In a very, you know, it's very close to the American consulate. Very close to the British and the French consulate. It's in the heart of East Jerusalem, you know, and the United Nations organizations are all around it. So this is why I thought that when once the international community, not just United Nations, but the British, the French, the Americans were involved in this issue. And were for the against this eviction, which is legal, you know, because it was legalized by the Israeli Supreme Court. This is true. The Israeli Supreme Court said that this is legal and this is okay. That's what should be done. But I thought that politically it will not happen, and so that's why this is Sheikh Jarrah. It's in the middle of a very international place.
And Sheikh Jarrah is, since it has an Arab name, I suppose the majority of its inhabitants are Palestinians.
The evicted people, all the evicted people are Palestinians.
And the majority of the people that live in that neighborhood are Palestinians?
Of course, this is a Palestinian, yes, this is purely, East Jerusalem that was annexed to Israel, this is true, but it is a Palestinian neighborhood. And most of the people, right now, I really don't know the statistics because the settlers move in. But in many cases, they do it, you know, they buy in all kinds of clandestine maneuvers. They do buy places, but so I don't know. They live in a few places they live, so I don't know the statistics. But in this case, all these families refused to be evicted. Maybe they were offered, I'm not sure whether they were offered, you know, other solutions, and they refused because they say the ISIS is where they live. You know that they live there since 1954. These homes were built for them as they were refugees, 48 from 48. And they were in 44, King Hussein and the United Nations UNRWA decided to build these homes for them to stay. You see, and then but they didn't make it legally under the name, you know, like Israel would have done. But the Jordanian, they didn't do it. So when this land came back to Israel, then they said that it belongs from 100 years ago, from the times of the Turk, that this is a Palestinian land. I'm sorry, that this specific land belonged to Jews 100 years ago. But then there is a lot of Palestinian land in West Jerusalem. So if you start going 100 years backward, then, you know, when you open the books, then at least be fair, and then what will happen?
Do you think that Israel is putting more pressure on the Palestinians in East Jerusalem and other places because of the American so-called pressure about the settlements? Maybe Israel wants to clear as much space for Jews as possible before it has to stop what it's doing because of pressure from Obama.
Yes, a possibility, it happened in the past, and it's a well-known, you know, tactics, you know, grab as much as you can when you know that soon you'll be stopped. Yeah, it is a possibility. It actually it's an optimistic possibility that says that that eventually Israel will surrender and will freeze the settlement and so on. I'm not so optimistic, but yes.